ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट्स हु हैव कम टुडे फॉर दिस संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम एट श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर चौपाटी। आई एम ऑल्सो वेरी ग्रेटफुल टू द ऑर्गेनाइजर्स फॉर गिविंग मी सम चांस टू प्यूरिफाई माई सेल्फ बाय स्पीकिंग समथिंग ऑन श्री कृष्ण एंड हिज डिवोटीज। लास्ट फ्यू वीक्स वी हैव बीन वेरी बिजीली एंगेज्ड इन एक्स्टैटिक डिवोशनल सर्विस ऑफ वंडरफुल फेस्टिविटीज। श्री कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी, श्रील प्रभुपाद व्यास पूजा महोत्सव, श्री राधाष्टमी, श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर डिसअपीयरेंस एंड अपीयरेंस ऑन अनंत चतुर्दशी, श्री हरिदास ठाकुर डिसअपीयरेंस, वंडरफुल फेस्टिविटीज, ईच हैविंग amazing significance and impact on our devotional lives. But if you see the Vaishnava calendar, there are two more dates in the same two tithis which are also mentioned but not celebrated by us. That is, one is on 31st October, it was the incorporation of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And just 3 days back, 26th September, it was the day of arrival of Srila Prabhupada in the United States of America. So why are these dates or tithis in the Vaishnava calendar? What is their significance? Today we will spend some time on understanding why these dates have been chronologically given the same importance and significance as the birth of Lord Krishna or appearance of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani's appearance, the feminine aspect of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Acharya's appearance and disappearance. One more significant event took place, Vishwarup Mahotsav, on which day Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. Very significant events. But these two events are also in par with all these events. Why? That is what we are going to discuss today. All of you must be coming since long many years to ISKCON. And you must be having your own concepts of what is ISKCON. Correct? Just 3 days back we were returning from Vrindavan. Myself, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Shyam Charan Prabhu, and two Gujarati gentlemen, young. They were discussing how, just by looking at us, they understood we are devotees. We got in Mathura, so they understood we must have come from Vrindavan. So they were discussing how many years back they went to Vrindavan, and in Gokul they were harassed so much by the Pandas that they never went ahead. That was their last trip. But they had reasons why not to go to Vrindavan. But then we were discussing amongst ourselves various points on Krishna consciousness. And then one of them asked, "Sir, what is ISKCON? ISKCON kya hai?" And then beautifully Hare Krishna Prabhu, he explained what is ISKCON. And he gave all the philosophical understanding and made it very clear to him that this ISKCON is not an American organization. It is your own organization. It is Krishna's organization. It is very much native. And at the end of the conversation, definitely they said, "Oh, this is ISKCON. We never knew this. We all thought that these are some bunch of foreigners taking out some mantras from the scriptures and doing all nonsense activities while chanting the holy names." This was their impression. Now many of us had the same impression before coming to ISKCON. How many of you had? Just raise your hands. How many of you thought of this is not our culture. This ISKCON is something which is foreign to us. This meant for some Americans, hippies. How many of you thought like this? Now, many of us thought. Because particularly we were victims of media and the films, they had shown us how ISKCON is promoting all illicit activities while chanting the holy names. This was our impression. But ISKCON is many, many impressions. It's not just one impression. This is like one of the common, you can say, the negative impression about ISKCON. But we have, as soon as we say ISKCON, something comes to our mind, right? Immediately. What comes to your mind? Huh? They are jumping. Krishna's temple. Anyone else? What comes to your mind? Prasadam. The variety of prasadam. Huh? Amazing variety. You have never seen such variety. Anything else? Good music. Kirtan, dancing. Anyone else? Rathyatras. So many impressions will be there. Festivities. Foreigners. Many people go to, previously at least, they would go to ISKCON to see foreigners. Particularly foreigner ladies wearing saris. It's an amazing sight. So ISKCON has many, many impressions in the people's minds. Those who are involved in management, Krishna consciousness, for them ISKCON is complexity. It's complex. How to manage it? Chaos. So various things come to their mind. And somebody who is simple comes, enters first time in a Hare Krishna temple and sees wonderful dancing, chanting. He equates
Krishna consciousness, happiness. ISKCON means happy devotees. Have you seen this? You can pick up a ISKCON devotee from anywhere. If he is in the crowd, he will stand out. Why? Because there is some charm on his face. There is a glow in his eyes. There is some kind of confidence in him. Krishna consciousness empowerment is there. ISKCON means empowerment. So all these amazing responses will come from our heart. I was on Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Day. I was reading this book by Srila Mukunda Goswami. The Miracle on 22nd Avenue. So ISKCON is a miracle. What is the miracle? He says at the end of the book, he writes, ISKCON was incorporated in 1966, mid of 1966. And by 1970, just 3.5 years later, see, when ISKCON began, what was ISKCON? He himself writes that, I was not sure why it is called as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is saying that. He said, I was a signatory, because Prabhupada thought, okay, amongst all this bunch of people, he is the eldest. And he is not so spaced out. So let him be one of the signatories. So he was a signatory. But he said, rented storefront, few people who don't even know who is Krishna. And you call it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And what is there? Who are the supporters? Hippies. There is no money with them. There is nothing. Except Prabhupada, there was practically no sane personality. But he said, Krishna's empowerment you can see in ISKCON. He said, by 1970, the same ISKCON, it had a monthly turnover just in the matter of economics of 120 crore rupees. Huh? Beginning with zero, no funds. He began with zero, Prabhupada began with zero. Hundreds of devotees, several temples, Europe, America, everywhere. And millions of back to Godheads being distributed every day. It's amazing, no? If anyone thinks of it, you have to simply think that this is not possible. This is an impossibility which became possible by empowerment. Krishna empowered this movement. Krishna incarnated in this movement. That is ISKCON. In fact, even a new devotee in ISKCON, he may just come and attend a journey of self-discovery course. Maybe sometimes 4 days, sometimes 7 days. But he is sufficiently empowered. He can go anywhere and challenge anyone. A new devotee in ISKCON, he becomes so confident that he can talk on national issues. He can talk on international policies. And given a chance, he can talk on interplanetary issues. He's so confident. He can defeat anyone. In my own case, I just joined maybe 2 or 3 times. I did not, that time there was no journey of self-discovery course. We took that first course after we were Brahman initiated. Then we decided, okay, now let us study it systematically. But just by 1 or 2 interactions with the devotees, I was so confident. Yes, this is Krishna's philosophy. And whatever he has said, whatever Prabhupada has said, so best. So naturally you want to tell people what's happening with you. You want to share with it. So I was a hostelite, so I went to my house in my native place and started home ground. You start batting. So I was immediately started preaching my father and mother. But that doesn't go well so much. And in India, most people have already heard many things. So I was just discussing, I said, bhakti is the only aim of life. So I was like, and he had seen that this boy has changed completely. You know, we had to wake him up at 9 a.m. and now he gets up at suddenly at 5:30 a.m. and he chants and something has gone wrong. So in this way, I was discussing with him and suddenly he asked me, okay, you know more about Krishna consciousness or Krishna bhakti. How many types of bhakti are there? How many types of bhakti? I said, how many types? Bhakti is bhakti. Because I never heard. There are 9 types of devotional service. Never heard. Or just maybe 2 or 3 interactions with the devotees. But even those interactions made me very confident. So Krishna consciousness, ISKCON is empowerment. I was in Mayapur last year. I was just taking walk on Prabhupada Samadhi. You've seen Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. Huge structure. Beautiful structure. I'm just chanting there. And one sannyasi came, so I offered my obeisances, but I could recognize that he is probably not an ISKCON sannyasi. But ISKCON sannyasi again, you know, he has an air about himself. You know, ISKCON devotee has an air about himself. He's a different kind of entity. So he started speaking to me, I am from Bandra, you know, Bandra Gaudiya Math. So then he said, we also preach, we also chant. In fact, our people chant 64 rounds. But he said, but ISKCON is empowered. He said, I don't know how it happens. You guys chant 16 rounds, we chant 64 rounds. But something is there in this movement that it is totally different. In spite of all things we might hear here and there, the progress is amazing. The confidence of the devotees is amazing. It's a happy moment. But beyond this, I was just analyzing, why is it empowered so much? From where this empowerment has come? That's the topic of our discussion today. From one angle, ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is a manifestation of prayers. Not many prayers. In fact, that movement itself is a prayer. If you see the 10 or 7 purposes of ISKCON, it's all geared to certain prayers. But before going to analyze how it's a prayer or how it is a manifestation of a prayer, we are all part of ISKCON. We'll just take some symptoms of how what I'm saying has some justification. You ask any devotee, we have a different lingo. You know, we speak a different language, right? For us, sense gratification, transcendental, these words are completely common. People outside, they don't understand. Sometimes some devotees, they are so used to this language that anyone they meet, please give me your mercy. So, that person is, what is he saying? Because he is not used to that. But if you ask any devotee, what can I do for you, Prabhu? What is the commonest answer you hear? Please pray for me. Right? Please pray for me. This is the commonest answer. Of course, but sometimes you may get some specific request. But very rarely. Very rarely. That will also be very unusual. Let me guarantee you that. Very expert devotees. Very unusual kind of things they can ask. But the commonest thing they will ask is, please pray for me. And if you ask them, okay, what can I pray for you? You will not get a common answer. It's amazing people. Generally when you go to the temple, outside world, what happens? They go for some specific prayer. I want this. I want that. I want a job. I want clearance of my debts. I want good health. I want good wife, good husband. So many things. Good grades. This is the way Indians pray. Correct? 99%. You are those 1% who are different. But in ISKCON, people will always ask something else. In fact, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was giving a lecture and he was saying how to communicate with God. And one young gentleman, he asked, to develop communication, can I write letters to God? So Maharaj said, yes, of course you can write. Then he asked, do you write letters to God? That time Maharaj gave a beautiful answer. He said, no, I don't write letters. I am not a good writer. But I am a good prayerer. What he says? Prayerer. That means I regularly pray. This is a hallmark of a ISKCON devotee. Again, they regularly pray. Apart from their chanting Hare Krishna, they still regularly pray. Hare Krishna itself is a prayer. Prabhupada translates Hare Krishna Mahamantra as, O Srimati Radharani, O all attractive Krishna, O reservoir of pleasure Ram, please engage me in your service. This is the actual translation of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So itself it's a prayer. But beyond that, japa also, there is a continuous effort to pray. So we are in quite in parampara of prayers. So these prayers we must understand before we go to the whole subject matter of how ISKCON is a prayer. How do we pray? What is the purpose of this prayer? So prayers, generally we can divide into two. That is, one is the purpose is totally materialistic. We want something. And second is a completely spiritual purpose where there is no selfish desire. In the materialistic purposes, there are two types again. Those people who will go to the demigods to pray and ask for some specific boons. So Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, these are the people who are less intelligent. He doesn't condemn them, but he says, that's not very intelligent. Because they don't know that actually whatever the boons they are going to get from demigods, they are coming from me. I am the source of everything. And then those who are materially motivated, but still they go to Krishna. So even though they are materially motivated, Krishna accepts them as great people. Just because they have accepted Krishna as their object of worship. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Chaturvidha bhajante mam, jana sukritino Arjuna. Arto artharthi jagnaju, jnani cha bharatashava. Four types of people who are motivated, they come to me. Artha, those who are distressed. Most of us. Right? Most of us had some distress in life, which actually brought us closer to Krishna. And still, even though there is a motivation that my distress should go away, Krishna accepts them as great Mahatmas, pious people, Sukriti no. Why is that? Because it is not necessary that when you are distressed, you will go to Krishna. You can go to some politician. You can go to some Baba. You can go to some ghost. You can go to anything. You can go to drugs. You can go to alcohol. You can go to anywhere except Krishna. So even in that artha stage or distress stage, to come to Krishna is a great act. And Krishna approves that. He says, Sukriti, no. He is a great personality. Why? Because he has come. Artharthi, one who wants money, wealth, some kind of prosperity, he also comes to Krishna. And some people are just inquisitive. They're just inquisitive. What's this? What is going on here? Why so many people assemble on Sundays here? Why there is Rath Yatra? So many questions. They want to find out. Some people come for research. Our Yadubara Prabhu, you know, in his college days, he had a project of some photography assignment. So he selected ISKCON or Hare Krishna movement as his study project. And in the bargain, he landed up getting initiated, married in Krishna consciousness with his wife. And now, he is one of the senior most disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And done so much service to Prabhupada because Jigyasu just came to photograph what Prabhupada is doing or what these Hare Krishnas are doing. And Jnani, a wise man who actually understands Krishna is the ultimate goal of my life. All these four, amongst these, Krishna says the wise, the knowledgeable person, he is very, very dear to me. Very dear to me. He says, actually, he is as good as myself. What is he saying? He is as, like, is there anyone more dear to you than yourself? Not possible, no? So Krishna is saying, he is as good as myself. Imagine the caliber of this personality. So Krishna says, sadhava hrudayam mayam. Such a person, he is always staying in my heart and I always stay in their heart. Narottam Das Thakur prays, Govinda kahena mara Vaishnava pran. Govinda, what he is saying? Vaishnava is my pran. He is my life breath. This is the greatness of a Vaishnava. So this kind of personalities, the personalities who are pure hearted, how do they pray? What is the science of this prayer? That we must understand as being part of ISKCON. And therefore we are diverting a little bit about how to pray. So one first thing we saw is why to pray. So naturally material motivations, spiritual motivations. Whom to pray? Krishna obviously. But how to pray? So in how to pray, Rupa Goswami, he gives us the wonderful analysis of what are the components of a prayer. We just say pray, but how do we pray? There is a science behind prayer. So he says there are three components in a prayer. One is that there should be the feeling of humility, forgiveness, feeling for mercy. In fact, this whole prayer business is so wonderful because in all other things, whether it is chanting or deity worship or anything else, we can become very mechanistic. All of us have this problem. After some time, our chanting becomes mechanical. We complain about it. I can't chant nowadays. Previously, I was chanting so nicely. Now it has become very mechanical. It's the same thing going on. Why? Because the feeling is lacking. The feeling component is what makes a prayer. Because you cannot pray unless there is a feeling. There has to be some feeling. So this feeling has to come first. So what kind of feeling is expected? He says the first component is dainya. Dainya means humility. Rupa Goswami says when you go in front of the deity, you see the deity and first you address the deity by saying, I am very ashamed of my past life. Because we all have the past life. There is a big baggage behind us. So it's not that we are now very proud that because we have attained shelter of Krishna. We should be aware of our past. That I am, oh Lord, I am ashamed of my past activities. And I am very, very fallen in front of it. But you are so great. So please be merciful unto me. So there are two components. The forgiveness, acceptance of forgiveness and appealing for mercy. So this is called a Dainya Bodhika. This is the prayer. Then in that mood, naturally we adore the Lord with wonderful words, Uttama Shloka, beautiful prayers. We may not be eloquent Sanskrit speakers or English speakers, but we can follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, learn their prayers and recite them. When you go in front of the deity of Lord Krishna, now you may say this, we might have a mechanistic approach again. Okay, in the scriptures it is said, first you look at the lotus feet. So lotus feet, one. Okay, done. Go up. Done. Go up. Okay, now face. Hari bol, thank you. Obeisance is out. This is not prayer. This is mechanistic. But the Lord is glorified. So what do we glorify? We don't know the prayers. So we say, Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So naturally, we have accepted the previous acharya's prayers and offered it back to Krishna. This is the way to pray. This is sampratha prarthanatmika. That means, pleasingly offering wonderful words to the Supreme Lord. And then, when we have done this, then the third component comes, is called as the lalasa. Lalasamai. That means, we have some desire. So we express, Oh Lord, I have this desire. And the Lord is always willing. In fact, before even the devotee expresses desire, the Lord already knows what is in his heart and is ready to fulfill it because he is so dear to him. So, these are the ways we approach the Supreme Lord, and that is the science of praying. So, having said this about the prayers, we will see now how ISKCON is simply a prayer. We'll have to go back now in the history. We'll go to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna's friends, they have just enjoyed wonderful play session with Lord Sri Krishna. And Krishna, he was waiting at a distance, and the other boys, coward boys, they are running in one direction where Aghasur, he has opened his mouth and his tongue looked like a big highway and the mouth looked like a cave. So they were all rushing on that highway. Some people were thinking that it is probably a snake because there is a lot of foul smell coming from his intestines, from the mouth. But nonetheless, they were very confident that Krishna will protect. And sure enough, I am not going to go into the detail of that story. They went inside. Krishna was about to enter, and as soon as he entered, Aghasur closed his mouth and Krishna ripped open his body, saved all the coward boys, and Aghasur was killed. And Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this story to Parikshit Maharaj, and he said, after 1 year, all the coward boys, they told their father and mother how he killed Aghasur. So wait. Why after 1 year? He's asking, why after 1 year? Why not on the same day? Another story came in. He said, after that, Lord Brahma, when he heard that Aghasur is also killed, he came to see, who is this boy? I don't know who is he. Is he the Supreme Lord? He had some confusion. So what he did is, while playing, all the coward boys, they were stolen by Brahma. All the cows, they were stolen by Brahma. They were hidden. And because he was playing with fire, he knew, his most intelligent personality. So he knew, he is playing something dangerous, game. So he immediately came back to see what's happening, within a moment. So as soon as he came, the scene was totally the same. The coward boys are still playing, Krishna and Balram, everyone is still same, the cows are the same.
So he went back and he saw they are still sleeping. And seeing his confusion, then Lord Sri Krishna, mercifully, he manifested each calf and the cowherd boy. He showed that everyone is Lord Vishnu, with all his demigods around. Every Vishnu had his own set of demigods, own Brahma, everything. And he's saying, I am Brahma, but there is another Brahma there. So, he was amazed. And he's completely confused. And suddenly everyone disappears and only Sri Krishna is there. So in this way, Lord Brahma, this is Brahma Vimohan Leela. Lord Brahma, he was completely bewildered. And there, after he has learnt his lesson, he starts offering beautiful prayers to Sri Krishna. And in those prayers, after glorifying him adequately, then he says, for myself, I thought that I am the most intelligent personality in this whole universe. And because of my high position, my eyes were covered. And I see that I couldn't recognize you. But all these simple cowherd boys, the gopis, the simple village people, they are so simple in front of me. They are insignificant in front of me. Still, they could have direct relationships with you. They can harass you. They can joke with you. They can dance with you. I can't do that. So, O Lord, if I ever take birth again, let me take birth. So he asks two benedictions. One benediction he says, I should take birth where all these devotees, they can step on me. That's how he takes birth as the four peaks of mountain. He takes some birth as a mountain in the Barsana, Brahmagiri, which has four heads, and then each head has a different name. But another time he says that I would also like to take a very low birth so that I never become proud. And that's how he comes in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela as Srila Haridas Thakur. So this is one story. As a result of Brahma's prayers. Then Krishna, at certain point of time, he also understands that what great devotion these devotees have for me. Srimati Radharani, gopis, all these gwalas, they have such devotion and such love for me that when I become happy, I am actually the source of their happiness. I am the object of their worship. Everything they do it for my pleasure. But I don't understand what is there in me that makes them so happy. I'm a little confused. What is in me that makes them so much happy? And when I see them happy, I become happy. And when I become happy, they become more happy. And when they become more happy, I become happier. And in this way, the competition goes on, but they always defeat me. Imagine. Krishna is thinking, they always defeat me by their love. I am the supreme object of their worship, but every time I am defeated by them. What is this power of love? So then, in this way, from his heart, he is thinking that actually this love, which is so uncommon, I can't understand this love, but I would like that the same love, let the whole creation get it. Let the whole world get it. And I will myself test it also. What is the love of a devotee for the Lord? And therefore, that same Krishna, with his desire in the heart,
Like he is praying now that he wants to. Now who is he praying to? He is praying to himself, obviously. Krishna is praying to Krishna. And he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Sutra Hoilo Sai Balaram Hoilo Nitai. So both brothers, Krishna and Balaram, they come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And when they come, because of the result of this prayer of wanting to give the same love to each and every living entity, as a result, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Nityananda Prabhu comes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent about 24 years in Navadvip Dham and later 24 years in Puri Dham with some traveling here and there. But in Navadvip, when he manifested his real form as a devotee, when Krishna becomes a devotee, there is no parallel to him. Krishna is supreme in everything. When he wants to become a devotee, can you find a parallel to him? It is impossible. So he became the supreme most devotee. Before him, Advaita Acharya came and he also prayed. Again, we are a result of a prayer. He came and he saw. He is Sakshat Mahavishnu, Sadashiv. But when he came also, he saw that the world has become so materialistic, I can't save them. It's impossible. So he says, Krishna, you have to come personally. The Vaishnavas would come back to Advaita Acharya's house and say, all these people are there just passing such derogatory remarks towards us. They are saying these people are so foolish, why can't they chant silently? All the time they are talking, Hari, 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 Hari. We are getting disturbed. They bake their food and then when the food goes in their belly, they get more strength and then chant Hari Hari again. So it was like very sad kind of a story for all of them. So they came to Advaita Acharya and said, please do something. So he vowed. He said, yes, I will call that Supreme Lord. He has to come. And on the bank of Ganga, he started offering to his Shaligram the manjuris of Tulsi and Ganga water. And with loud chanting, he was all the time calling. And that's how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. So with all these devotees together with him, naturally he gave an order to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. Come, Nityananda and Haridas, from today, go to every person, every village, and on my order, give them Krishna consciousness. Tell them to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And tell them to follow the instructions of Krishna as given in Gita and Bhagavatam. Tell them to make the object of their life as Sri Krishna. So these instructions were to be given to all people without discrimination. So through this holy name, he wants to give the same love of Braja Prem, Krishna Prem, to all those, whether they are qualified or unqualified. Previously, as Ram, also he said that even if Ravan comes today and asks for shelter, I will forgive him. This is Ram's statement. Ram was saying that even Ravan comes and asks shelter, I will give my shelter. Even in spite of all this nonsense. But the prerequisite is, Ravan has to come. Right? That's a prerequisite. Ravan has to come. If he doesn't come, no. But in this incarnation, as Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami mentions this avatar as Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. Why it is Mahavadanyaya? Because here, people don't come to him. He doesn't even demand. He says, go to people and give them what I want, Krishna Prem. It's amazing, no? He doesn't want it. I will give it still. That is Namo Mahavadanyaya. So when he comes, he is ordering all his devotees, go to each and every person and tell them about Krishna. So naturally, everywhere Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, they are roaming around, chanting the holy names, spreading the holy names, humbly asking devotees and non-devotees, without any discrimination of caste, creed, religion, rich, poor, child, old, male, female, nothing, no discrimination. They are simply falling at the lotus feet. Now who is this Nityananda? He is Balaram. Balaram means one who takes pleasure in showing his strength. Bala. He takes a lot of pleasure in showing his own strength. So and naturally whom do you stay show your strength? Demons. Right? He, Dhenukasur, what did he do? He didn't do much. He just, you know, just and threw him and he died. Just show of strength. Duryodhan and the party, they were angry that he, Balaram, is trying to show off his strength in front of us. We are Kurus. Because of us, the Yadavas have their royal paraphernalia. So they are, in this way they are boasting themselves. We will not go to Balaram with Lakshmana, who was the daughter of Yadu dynasty, Yadavas. And what does he do? It's amazing again. No one can think about this. Within few minutes, in the night, suddenly everyone, Duryodhan, their palaces started shaking. The whole Hastinapur is separated from the earth and it is pulled. He is taking it to Yamuna to drown it. Yamuna was great at that time. This is unusual strength. But here what is he doing? Just like a rod, he would fall on the feet of people and say, please, chant the holy names of Sri Krishna on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day they are passing on the road and they see there is a great crowd and lot of chaos going on. So they ask, what is going on? No, those two drunkards, don't go there. Very dangerous people. They are Jagai and Madhai. Very dangerous people. They can kill you. Particularly they hate good people. So don't go near them. So they saw these two brothers, very huge bodies, filthily smelling with alcohol, known for all types of atrocities in whatever we can imagine. They are beating each other with abusive words. And then they found out the history. Who are these people? So they said, no, they are actually from very well respected Brahmin families. Previously they were Jagadananda and Madhavananda. Hare Krishna. So the Jagai and Madhai, they are from respectable families. But with bad association, they have done such nonsense that people are afraid of them. They can kill anyone. They can loot anyone's house. Don't go near them. And what is there? What are they thinking? Ah, these are the best candidates. If we want to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya, that he has come to actually deliver the most fallen people, he has come to give the love of God, the Braja Prem, Vrindavan Prem, to every common person, then these are the best candidates. Let's give them the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So they go through the crowd and tell the two brothers, please chant the holy names of Sri Krishna. Make Krishna as the object of your life. And immediately, Jagai mother start running after them. And Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, they start running. Of course, these people were drunkards. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they were peaceful devotees, so they knew how to run faster. But they were running and they were talking amongst each other. And Haridas Thakur is saying, what madness has gone out upon you? Why are you going to such people? Says, no, I am not mad, your master is mad. It is your master who gave us the order that we must talk to everyone.
So my master is mad. So what can I do?
So in the evening, report comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, they say, it is almost that Jagai Madai is already liberated because Nityananda Prabhu has put his merciful glance on them. That is power of Nityananda. Very unusual power.
So next day they again go and again spot them somewhere and again go. Please chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And immediately, all anger came upon them. Particularly Jagai and Madhai. Madhai was completely intoxicated. He took a pot which was containing liquor and just threw at Lord Nityananda on his head and profusely started bleeding. Now, try to understand this same Nityananda in the previous incarnation as Balaram. When he went to the Naimisharanya, he was just going, and when he arrived in the assembly of the great sadhus, he saw on the Vyasasan Romaharshan was sitting. And Romaharshan, he was sitting on the Vyasasan, everyone got up and welcomed Lord Balaram. Yes, please come, the Supreme Lord has come. Except Romaharshan. And just to teach him a lesson, again he did a very unusual thing. He took a blade of grass and just threw it at him and killed him. And no one dies with a blade of grass, right? But he killed him with a blade of grass. Of course, later on, he did a lot of things to correct this situation. But such was his personality. And today, even after hitting, what is he saying? Oh dear brother, it's okay. You hit me. It doesn't hurt me. But if you don't take the holy name, that hurts me. So please chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Now even within that intoxicated state, Jagai realized that this is a great personality. We have made a big offense. He immediately fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda and said, please forgive me. He told Madhai, don't hit him again. Because Madhai was about to hit him again. He said, no, this is a great personality. And in the meantime, the news of Lord Nityananda profusely bleeding had already reached Lord Chaitanya. He came with all the devotees and immediately, because Lord Sri Krishna, he can tolerate any insult to himself. No issues about him. Nothing affects him. But any insult to his devotee, he takes it very, very seriously. Because they are very dear. So immediately he's invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. Chakra! And Chakra was there. And everyone knew what will happen now. That Madhai is going to be killed. Lord Chaitanya said, this Jagai, you are very dear to me because you tried to save my Lord Nityananda. You are very dear to me. But this person has to be killed. Then at that point, another prayer came. Lord Nityananda's prayer, Balaram's prayer. What he said? Oh Lord, you have incarnated this time not to kill the demons. You have come here to give Krishna Prem. That is the mission of this incarnation. And if you want to kill Jagai and Madhai, you will have to practically kill everyone. Why? Because actually that is the state of society today. More or less we are small or big Jagais and Madhais. All of us. Because the whole atmosphere is surcharged with sinful activities which are justified in the names of various isms.
You can justify sinful activities and go on in that same manner without even feeling guilty. Their greatest religion is don't feel guilty. No, that is the religion today. What will they say? Don't feel guilty. Be always happy. Do any nonsense, don't feel guilty. Have you heard this? No? You will hear it. Those who do nonsense, people, what is today's psychologist doing? They will say, remove your guilt. They take a lot of money to remove your guilt. But actually guilt is good. Guilt is good. Because guilt makes you improve. Without guilt, how can you improve? That is today's reason. That is why it is very, very dangerous. The way society is going today. So, Nityananda Prabhu is saying, if you want to kill these two people, then you have to kill most of the people. So therefore, I pray to you. I have not been hurt. There is slight bleeding, but it's okay. And for my sake, give your mercy to Madhai as well. And seeing this, then Madhai fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda. So again, these Jagais and Madhais, low-born people, everyone, for them, the atmosphere is being created by Lord Nityananda. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, they preached very wonderfully. Narottam Das Thakur, the Shad Goswamis, Shyamananda Pandit, Srinivasacharya, all of them, they gave the same message. And later on, as it happens many times, after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, Lord Chaitanya's movement became somewhat covered. Till the 19th century when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in this world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is again a great prayerer. If you see his life, again, his disappearance, appearance days were here last month. I was reading them. His life is full of prayers. Amazing, beautiful prayers. And as a grihastha, as a common man, of course he is a Nitya Siddha Bhakta, but in this world when he comes, he shows how to live like a common man. Even though he was a very busy government official, a magistrate, he would take out time to pray. Initially, he was quite influenced by the Christian teachings. He had read Jesus Christ's Bible, he had read Quran, he had discussed with the Brahmos. Brahmos were the people who were trying to sort of superimpose Christianity over Vedic Dharma. Like that. Something like that. But nonetheless, he was trying to read Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Chaitanya Charitamrita. And after a lot of efforts, he got Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he had a particular problem. He was thinking that this Bhagavat, the philosophy is so wonderful, but why that Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, how can he engage in immoral activities? This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinking, as a common man. And on top of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is such a great Vaishnava, how can he support Lord Sri Krishna? So he is praying continuously, ki, this mystery I am not understanding. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in his own autobiography that actually by my humility and eagerness and intense prayers, within a short while, I was giving the right intelligence to understand the truth of Radha, Krishna and Gopis and Krishna's love. I was given the complete understanding, and from that day on, I accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this kind of prayerful mood was there with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And every time, he was like all of us. He would, if you read his whole life, so many times he's sick. He has fevers and he doesn't have medical facility as of today. There's no medical facility. So they would sometimes do some tantras, mantras, sometimes some kind of powders, herbal medicines. And most of it was prayers. He was expert prayers. When he went to Vrindavan with his whole family, he was struck with such bad fever that he couldn't even travel. So he prayed very earnestly. I have come to your abode. I know I am getting a justified treatment, but right now I want to see your dham. Can you postpone it? This is direct, lalasamayi prarthana. And immediately next day he was normal. He took all the tours of Vrindavan forest and did many things, wonderful things in Vrindavan. Came home after that and again fell sick. And then he was again recovered later on. But many prayers. And one of those prayers, wonderful prayers, is that when he writes actually. He says, when he was so convinced about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's supremacy as Supreme Lord and his authenticity of his movement, that he was boldly preaching. In fact, he wrote several books which we cannot imagine, about 100 books in few years. One single person with all those, you know, responsibilities of the government, with 10 children and with lot of preaching work going on, still he wrote 100 books. And one of those essays, he writes, "Oh, when will I see that day?" Because he had a complete conviction that when Lord Chaitanya is saying that my name will be preached on in every town and village of the earth. Prithvite. He used the word Prithvite. So Prithvite is a word, many people would think that this is probably meant for Bengal and Orissa. That's it. That's Prithvi. But that was not true. He said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not meant for Orissa and Bengal. He is not even meant for India. He is meant for Prithvi, the whole world. So he said, "Oh, when will that day be seen by me? When I see that there is French people, English people, Russians, Americans, Germans, they all come in the streets of Navadvip and chant Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari and embrace my Bengali brothers and cry in ecstasy." This was his prediction. He wanted that to happen. And what do we see today? If you go to Mayapur, now in the month of February, March, on the Falgun Purnima, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day, you will see various colors of people coming there. Yellow, black, brown, white, red. So far I have not seen green, but all types of colors of people. And all of them, they chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. In the streets of Navadvip. It's amazing. This is ISKCON. Result of prayer. Then we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's all the time praying. He wanted to establish what Bhakti Vinod Thakur said. And therefore, he established 64 Gaudiya Maths in India. And even at that time, he sent his top preachers to Europe, particularly to London, to preach. He said, "Go and preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And they tried their best. But later on, it was His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who was also a prayer, continuously praying. There is one diary. Now we know Prabhupada Lilamrit, and there are so many books coming on Prabhupada. Amazing. How one person, just by coming in contact, maybe few moments, or few hours, a book comes out on that. I have heard, there is one devotee, his name is Kurma Prabhu. So expert cook, there is a Kurma's book on cooking. And Prabhupada was so pleased with his extraordinary cooking. Few moments interaction with Prabhupada. But he wrote a full book on his interaction with Prabhupada. He didn't have so many years of interaction. A small interaction. So how he perceived Prabhupada? So Prabhupada was that person. He was continuously praying. So before ISKCON began, before he became the world acharya, Jagat Guru, even before that, in his diary it is noted, just like the prayers of Prahlad and Vasudev Datta, another devotee who prayed actually for ISKCON is Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta was a devotee who was a great singer. And in Rath Yatra, he would be lead singer in one of the parties. And every year, all the devotees from Bengal, they would come, dance and chant in Rath Yatra and go back. And one year, when they were going back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying each and every devotee. He was embracing them, giving them various instructions. Then he spoke about Murari Gupta. And then suddenly, he said, Vasudev. He started speaking about Vasudev Datta as if he had 1,000 mouths. Just speaking, speaking, speaking. And he felt so embarrassed, Vasudev Datta, that he actually went into a corner and kept quiet. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished, then he said, I have some petition at your lotus feet. So what is it? Vasudev Datta said, actually I am very much suffering. What is your suffering? When I see that the common people in this world, most people in this world, they are not interested in Krishna consciousness. They are so much suffering in their materialistic way of life, but they think that is the goal of life. The fleeting pleasures which come and go, that they have made sum and substance of their life. I feel very sad about them. And it is all because of their karma. So can I take their all karma on my head? Let me suffer eternally in the hell. But you liberate all of them. Imagine. This is Vasudev Datta. Of course somebody may say, I can also pray like that. That is nonsense. You can't pray like that. You have to have that conviction. Like Prabhupada used to write, your ever well-wisher. We may say, I also write, your ever well-wisher. But what do you mean by that? You have to have that kind of consciousness of being your ever well-wisher. Vasudev Datta was an ever well-wisher of all living entities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just by your desire, because you desired like that, you can be rest assured that everyone in this universe will be liberated, will be taken back to home, back to Godhead. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so overwhelmed by Vasudev Datta's prayer. See, the prayers can have such effect that the Lord Himself becomes overwhelmed. He started crying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started trembling. His voice started faltering. He couldn't speak. What a devotee. And then he said, Vasudev, just because you are desired, you rest assured that they are going to go back to Godhead. Because Krishna is very potent. For him, it is not a loss. If a king has millions of cows and he loses one cow, how does it make any difference to him? So in the same way, in the Viraja river, there are hundreds and millions of universes. If one universe is emptied, what is the problem? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. Then he said, not only that, even if all material universes, they are also liberated, it is not a problem for Krishna. He is all potent. So do not worry. You don't have to take their suffering. Just by your desire, it is already done. So that is why even Vasudev Dutt's prayers are part of ISKCON. ISKCON is part of it. Same mood Srila Prabhupada showed when he wrote in his diary that let me suffer for all the living entities, but let them become Krishna conscious. He didn't know that somebody is going to see this diary, but he wrote it down as his own feeling. This is prayer. And then we see that ISKCON, as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who are the part of ISKCON? When Prabhupada went to the West, he attracted the lowermost people. From the Vedic point of view, they are less than mlechas. But this is the prayer of Lord Brahma and demigods, that they want to come like that. So they have come. And Prabhupada is claiming them. All of us, we are part of it. So when Prabhupada went there, he didn't go, okay, I know how to do it, you know. He is also going with a prayer. What is the prayer? He writes on Jaladuta when he is writing the prayers. He says, Bado Krupa Kaile Krishna Adhamera Prati. I am Adham. I am very low. But you have done your, you have given your mercy. You have given me this name, Bhakti Vedanta. Now, what is the meaning of this Bhakti Vedanta? You have to fulfill that. I don't know how to do it. I am just like a puppet or a wooden doll in your hands. Kashthira Puttali. Kashthira Puttali means wooden doll. I am a puppet. No matter how you want me to dance, I will dance accordingly. This is prayer of humility. Dainya Bodhika. Now make my words, allow them to take Krishna consciousness. When I speak, let it affect them. So complete surrender to Krishna in dainya, humility. And the result is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And not only that, it's not that when it was achieved, then Prabhupada forgot this. Even while he had many temples, many devotees, he would go in front of the deities and continuously pray. He would pray. Sometime one devotee asked, Prabhupada, what are you praying? And he said, I am praying to Krishna to protect me from Maya. A Nitya Siddha devotee. Why? What is he showing? How to pray. So ISKCON is a movement of prayers. It's a movement of pure devotees. Those who pray, Rupa Goswami is very clear about this fact that actually pure devotional service can be done by only pure devotees, right? You have to be a pure devotee to do pure devotional service. But Rupa Goswami is saying that actually in the material world, somebody by his sukruti gets the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. And then, by the association of the Mahatmas, the pure devotees, even though he is still attached to sense gratification, which is the case with all of us, that we have neither, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, you know, in the material world, those who are materialistic, they are suffering because of their material, but they don't understand that they are suffering. They look happy. And there are spiritualists who are completely pure and they have nothing to do with material world and they are also happy. But the unhappy species is the devotees. the in between, all of us. We are neither there nor here. But we can still perform pure devotional service. This is the beauty of the process of devotional service, bhakti. In fact, the happiness, Prabhupada says in one of his purports, happiness is of three types: material, spiritual and devotional. It's beautiful, he says. Material, spiritual and devotional. That means devotional is actually better than spiritual. So, that happiness is available in ISKCON. And that's our wealth. So Prabhupada is giving that wealth to us. How? Through the formula of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami says, those who are still attached to sense gratification, they can still perform pure devotional service. How? Not on their own strength, but by taking shelter of a pure devotee. It's beauty, no? Just take shelter of a pure devotee and act according to his instructions, and you are also a pure devotee. Right now. In fact, one time, of course, don't start looking at yourself. Huh? I am pure devotee. One time Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees are there in the world? So then he asked his secretary, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? So he said, about 5,000. So at least 5,000. So 5,000? So then later on, one devotee asked, Prabhupada, who are those pure devotees within ISKCON? Because every ISKCON devotee, Prabhupada claimed, so Prabhupada said, except you, everyone. So don't look at yourself. Look at others. Everyone else is a pure devotee. So ISKCON is a movement of pure devotees. Pure prayers. So we are taught here how to pray. So Prabhupada is teaching us, even after becoming Jagadguru, Acharya, when he went from India, he was a poor old sannyasi. 40 rupees in pocket, Srimad Bhagavatam with him. Hardly anyone knew. But when he came back, he is a world acharya. People were just waiting, red carpet welcome in India. Amazing welcome he got. Everywhere, wherever he went with his disciples, he was a most prominent acharya. But in spite of that, what is he praying? Oh Lord Krishna, please protect me. So, this is our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So therefore, these two dates, Prabhupada's arrival in USA, 26 September, and incorporation of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, just 10 months after his arrival, on 31st October, they are very, very significant dates for all of us. Very significant, because without that, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't be enjoying this beautiful atmosphere of association of glorious devotees. We wouldn't be enjoying this beautiful darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Lalita Vishakha, Srinathji, Nitai Gaurachandra, Srila Prabhupada and so many wonderful Vaishnavas. So all these prayers, beginning from Lord Sri Krishna, Balaram, Prahlad, Vasudev Datta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Lord Brahma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, all those prayers together manifesting as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And fortunately, by their grace, by the divine grace, we are also part of it. And as part of ISKCON, we are here. Why we are here? Because we want to learn how to pray, why to pray, what for to pray. Correct? That is ISKCON. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Amen.
International Society for Krishna Consciousness ISKCON ki.
Amen.
Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Hari Bol.
Kirtan kon kar raha hai?
Kirtan.